Welcome back to The Source here on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Bitcoin, the digital currency, a little mysterious to most people. It's a peer-to-peer payment network that can be earned by mining on a computer, as well as through exchange for goods and services and traditional currencies. A federal judge in Texas recently ruled that Bitcoin is money. The first ever Texas Bitcoin conference is scheduled to start this week in Austin, and the conference hopes to demystify the online currency by talking about future regulation, better accountability, and how to connect Bitcoin with entrepreneurs. But Bitcoin has faced some challenges of late. There was the Mt. Gox collapse and the bankruptcy, but Mt. Gox is not Bitcoin. People need to get that clear. And today, Bitcoin seems to be shaking all that off. They're hitting a stride and climbing on the markets. I think $700 now for Bitcoin. We're talking to Paul Snow, president of the Texas Bitcoin Association, and Charles Schrim. He is a Bitcoin evangelist and entrepreneur and former board member for the Bitcoin Foundation. He's also been involved in legal entanglement with, he was arrested connected to Bitcoin. We're going to talk about that. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Welcome.
Hey, how are you today?
Oh, we're doing great. So, Paul Snow, first of all, tell us about the conference that you're going to have in Austin.
Well, we're having the Texas Bitcoin Conference out at the Circuit of America's racetrack. We're aiming at Bitcoin adoption, and we've spent a good bit of time trying to integrate in the community. We have the Capital Area Food Bank, who has announced this week that they're going to start accepting Bitcoin. And the reason that they want to accept Bitcoin, it dramatically cuts the administrative costs and transaction fee costs of accepting donations so that more of what is donated goes to actually feeding hungry people. And we're also doing the first ever Bitcoin-only musical concert with Carolyn Malachi and a bunch of other artists.
So Bitcoin-only, you won't accept any other legal tender?
We're not going to accept any other legal tender, and all the ticket sales will go to various charities, including the Capital Area Food Bank, and as well as Without Regrets and Bitcoin Not Bombs and Free Aid and Sean's Outpost, a whole group of Bitcoin accepting charities.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question about Bitcoin, now's the time to call two experts about Bitcoin. They can help you figure this out. Number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So, Charles Schrim, how do you feel about Bitcoin right now? You were in it pretty early in the system, and now it hit some bumps, but is it shaking them off? What's Bitcoin doing right now?
I think so. I think that Bitcoin has seen a lot worse in the past few years since I've been involved. I remember back in the day in 2010, 2011, there may be 15 people in the world that knew what Bitcoin was. And Bitcoin is resilient. You know, you have to understand that mistakes like this that happened with Mt. Gox are only something that future companies and entrepreneurs are going to learn from.
And what would be the lesson from Mt. Gox?
Write much better code. is the first lesson. Better accountability. Yeah, it's difficult because a lot of people have been kind of railing on Mark, the CEO of Mt. Gox, and I lost some money in there too, so I know what that feels like. I have friends who lost a lot more than me. And he made some very, very bad decisions business-wise, and he has a history of making bad decisions, and he's probably saying to himself, I should have never been CEO of this company. I'm a web developer. I kind of felt the same way when I was running my first Bitcoin startup as well. It's difficult because you're going from transacting a few dollars to hundreds of thousands to millions overnight almost, and you're kind of riding this wave and trying to stay afloat above water. It's very difficult because then if you shut down, you kind of have a moral obligation to Bitcoin and to its customers and to your customers, the users of it. But it's difficult. It's a hard thing to do.
So what happened to the value that of Bitcoin that Mt. Gox had? Where did it go?
Where did the Bitcoins go? Where did the customer's deposits go?
At this one instance, this collapse of Mt. Gox, you know, people had
There are a lot of different theories, honestly. And Mt. Gox has been very, very kind of – at first they were saying it was hacked and it was stolen. But then at his press conference in Japan, he said that the coins had vanished. Maybe he doesn't want to purge himself. Maybe it's an inside job. Maybe it was fraud. Personally, I wrote an article that was referenced in the Wall Street Journal. I don't believe the Bitcoins were hacked or stolen. A lot of people, in collaboration with myself, we kind of worked together the other day, and we did a lot of blockchain analysis and actually found a little less than 100,000 of the coins still sitting in Mt. Gox's coffers. So who knows where the coins are? But if you do the math, you're talking about $500 million disappearing over a course of 4 years, right? Even if you say that the money was stolen when Bitcoin was 5 cents, you're still talking about thousands of dollars a day missing from your company's books. It just doesn't happen.
Okay, let's scroll back a little bit and try and explain what Bitcoin is for people who aren't, people talk about it, but they aren't really, you ask them, what's Bitcoin? And you're not going to get a good answer out of them. Cryptocurrency is the word people use, Paul Snow. Your elevator pitch on what Bitcoin is?
Well, the easiest way to understand Bitcoin is to use a sporting metaphor where the economic system, businesses transacting, inheritance, trading of assets, everything that goes on in the economy is a game played out on a field. And Bitcoin uses the model that when I transact when I do something on that economic field, I can get a score up on the scoreboard that says I have this much Bitcoin. And then, of course, I can use that score to buy something. You know, basically it's another move on the economic field, and I can transfer that Bitcoin to someone else, and they can essentially hold that and say, yes, you know, I have this much value because I've contributed this much in the economic system. So the best way to understand Bitcoin is it is for the first time a way of accurately keeping score of who is contributing economically in the economy, who's producing goods and services, who's providing services that people are willing to pay for, and basically those scores go up on a scoreboard that says this person has this many Bitcoin and that person has that many Bitcoin and so forth. And that scoreboard is the blockchain that you hear people talk about. And I can and anyone can go, all the fans looking at the scoreboard can understand exactly what economic activity relates to what value is being placed in someone's control on the scoreboard, on the blockchain.
Well, at the very least, you know, at the exploration of Bitcoin, even if you never buy a Bitcoin, you don't want to get involved in this, it helps us try to conceptualize what is money, what is worth, what is the trade and exchange, something we do every day. But money gets zapped around, and where is it going? Who's in charge of it? Lots of questions, and I think that Bitcoin is a great way to explore the question and the future of money all around us. So call in if you got a question or a comment about Bitcoin. We want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can comment on the show page on our website at tpr.org, where the conversation is always going on. We're going to continue talking about this this cryptocurrency, how it came about, where it's going, what could be next. Stay tuned. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Bitcoin. Later this week, Texas will have its first Bitcoin conference. It's in Austin. The Texas Bitcoin Association is having that. You can find out more information online. We're joined by Paul Snow. He's the president of the Texas Bitcoin Association. Charles Schrem is also with us. He is a big Bitcoin evangelist and entrepreneur. He was the former board member of the Bitcoin Foundation. So, Charles, you were arrested recently, by the FBI as you were getting off a plane in JFK. What happened there?
Yeah, I don't really know who arrested me. I was landing, I was giving a speech in Amsterdam on Bitcoin. I was landing Sunday night at about 6 p.m. with my girlfriend, and I was arrested by a 7-person task force consisting of, I believe, DEA, IRS, JFK security, and New York Police Department officers. put into a what looked like a military convoy of three or four cars and had a police escort to the DEA headquarters in Manhattan.
They treat you okay?
Now, mind you, I'm a 24-year-old Jewish kid from Brooklyn. You know, I was coming off a plane, weary-eyed. I just wanted to go home and go to sleep. I'm not posing a danger to anyone.
Well, right now, I understand you've been remanded to your parents' house. That's where you have to stay?
Yeah, I'm living in Brooklyn at my parents' place under house arrest. I have an ankle bracelet on.
So what are you charged with?
I'm charged with, well, actually, the officer had gotten it wrong when he arrested me, but I'm charged with operating a money transmission business without a license. I'm charged with not filing suspicious activity reports and conspiracy to commit money laundering.
So all of this kind of goes to this new nebulous definition or understanding of Bitcoin, and that we're seeing Bitcoin colliding with our traditional money and money operations, and so people are saying, what is this? What are they doing? Who said they could do that? Maybe we should clamp down on them. Is that how you see it?
Bitcoin is one of the largest payment systems in the world. You were asking before what Bitcoin is, right? I like to break it down into two things, kind of the capital B in Bitcoin, the lowercase b, because really Satoshi created two separate things here. More importantly, he created this payment system based on a peer-to-peer network, right? For example, before when we had the printing press, we were getting our information from one person upon a pyramid down, and all of a sudden when that came out, people were able to freely share information from each other without a central point of control or a central point of failure. And that's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is taking, instead of, for example, downloading something from the internet from one central server, you're able to send from one person to another. And what this means is, right now on my phone, I can send $10,000 to someone in Russia, or Antarctica, Ukraine, Singapore, anywhere in the world for pennies, instantly, privately, not anonymously, but privately. Obviously, if you're someone who has something to lose here, you know, if you're a payment provider or someone who makes money on the exchanges of value, then you have something to lose here, and it's very scary because Bitcoin is the evolution of money. You know, you have culture and knowledge, and all this information is now easily accessible to corners of the world, and it's, I see Bitcoin as one of the largest kind of socioeconomic experiments humankind has ever seen.
Well, an experiment, you know, it's really hard for people to put their hard-earned worth into an experiment, especially after this.
Agreed. You should never put any money into something that you're not willing to lose tomorrow. And a lot of people who lost some money in Mt. Gox took on that risk, unfortunately, including myself. Even keeping money in my own Bitcoin wallet, you have to understand that Bitcoin could collapse tomorrow. It won't, but there's a possibility, and it's a risk you're willing to have to take if you want to invest in it. But with myself as an early adopter, the bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. I remember a lot of us buying coins at 5-10 cents. I remember accidentally, I was trying to send someone 5 bitcoins, I accidentally sent him 50 bitcoins back in 2011. And at the time, you're talking about a difference between $5 and $10. You know, what's the big deal? Now we're talking about a difference of $6,000 or $50,000.
So we see that Bitcoin is doing really well today. And some people are theorizing that it might have something to do with what's happening in Russia, because the Russian currency is taking a beating, so is the Russian stock market, because of what's happening with the Ukraine. Does that make sense to you, Paul?
I think it's a few things. I think it's the fact that it's been resilient. Over through the Mt. Gox situation, the price hasn't dropped below 400, and people are seeing and recognizing that Bitcoin exists out of Mt. Gox. Two, the UK tax authorities, HMRC, came out with a document pretty much recognizing Bitcoin and saying that Bitcoin doesn't fall under our taxing schemes and giving permission for people to freely use it and exchange it for goods and services.
So that said, you could exchange Bitcoin without having to pay like a sales tax.
Exactly.
Right. VAT tax was the thing that was being threatened on Bitcoin, which would have cost 20% on every exchange.
Yeah, crazy amount of money.
Right.
Yeah. So
I commend and the UK government for that. Really do.
Okay. So, well, today I think it was Warren Buffett said Bitcoin is not a currency. Of course, he's not speaking from a legislative sort of point of view. He's just talking about it as an economic point of view. He says it does not.
Please, Warren Buffett hasn't invested in any tech stock, including Google, because I quote, he says that I don't know how to value them. All of a sudden, he can come out and say, I know how to value something and say it's not worth investing in. Put your money where your mouth is, Mr. Buffett.
Right.
Well, and I also think that the Bitcoin is something that we have never seen before, and we shouldn't really rib people who are very successful at analyzing a lot of things that have existed for 100 years because they don't understand something that we've never had before.
Now, I can like the idea of cryptocurrency, but may not be crazy about Bitcoin. You know, there are things with the Aurora coins in Iceland, I believe. That sounds very fascinating to me and more like something that is not as vulnerable.
That's interesting that you say that, because I actually took up an interest in Aurora coin as early as yesterday, and I just bought about one Bitcoin's worth. I think it's a fascinating experiment. It's like giving everyone, a citizen of a country, a PayPal account with $10. You know, and the question is, will they immediately sell the $10 back to cash, or will they actually use it as a medium of transfer?
Right, and it avoids the big controversy or the question that people have about Bitcoin is that early adopters who got way in front and were able to get a big chunk of Bitcoin at the very beginning are pushing Bitcoin because they're going to profit from it. Some call it a Ponzi scheme. That's a pejorative term, of course, but that's the way a lot of investment operates. But with this Aurora coin, it's more egalitarian and more spread out. Charles,
just goes back to what I said earlier. Bitcoin is an experiment. The Bitcoin as we see it today is kind of the base of it, and it's think of it as an empty island or an empty country when Columbus came to America. And now we have to build the bridges, the roads, the tunnels. We have to experiment. We have to build cities, housing. We have to see. We have to try to figure out what it can take us. But at its core, having a system where you don't have to worry about debt and the ability to transfer a medium of exchange and value from one person to another has worldly repercussions. You're talking about the ability to open up trade, forget from Africa to Europe to America. What about between African countries themselves? You know, corrupt governments won't be able to control the financial infrastructure.
Go ahead, Paul.
Let's extend that. Let's point out what Bitcoin really is at its heart. Bitcoin is about honesty, because there is a blockchain by which I can validate and verify.
Well, I mean, how can we say it's about honesty when the person who started it, this Satoshi Nakamoto, I mean, we don't even know if this person is a real person.
Well,
cares,
we don't
though?
Know if
well,
a
it's
lot
honesty,
of
it's honesty, then let's have some honesty about who created this thing.
Well, let's not chase a red herring here, because regardless of whether you know who painted a painting sits on the wall and you know you can examine the painting. And the idea that we don't know who created Bitcoin has some reflection of dishonesty is kind of crazy, because math is math and math is honest. And my point is that I can validate and verify and prove transactions against the blockchain. But when I take money out of a bank, I don't get to audit the bank's computer systems and databases, and I don't get to audit the databases and computer systems of payment processors and all the other operators. There's literally thousands and thousands of computer systems that exist to define where money is in the world, and we don't get to audit any of them. We can't say that someone has moved $9 trillion from the Fed unless the Fed happens to be willing to tell us that they've moved some enormous amount of money somewhere. Well, on the blockchain, however, I can see those movements. And Charlie alluded to that earlier when he was talking about the fact that he was sitting down doing blockchain analysis about Mt. Gox. You have to pay the piper. You have to put the transactions in the blockchain to transact economically in Bitcoin, and those transactions are provably honest against all the other transactions that preceded them.
All pieces of currency are based upon faith. You have to have faith that you're putting your value into something that's going to retain that value. You're going to be able to use it later on down the road. And so, Paul, you're saying that these blockchains, that's where your faith is coming from, as with a dollar. I'm able to say that's, the government backs that. So, Charlie, does that make sense? Okay, Paul, go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is every transaction, it's as if there was a perfect notary that can absolutely prove without a shadow of a doubt what each transaction was in the movement of Bitcoin. And furthermore, in our conference, we're talking about Bitcoin 2.0. We're talking about extending the blockchain to not only talk about the exchange of currencies, but the exchange of assets and ownership and a lot of other instruments. And when you
Exactly, that's an amazing point.
Yes, all right. And when you can go to one source and prove these transactions are good, valid, and were and occurred at a particular point in time between two individuals, that's honesty.
Okay, listen, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Hopefully our audience is better educated. But Bitcoin, very complex and continuing to evolve. Thank both of you. Paul Snow, president of the Texas Bitcoin Association. Got the conference coming up this weekend in Austin. Charlie Shrim, thank you so much. The Bitcoin evangelist. Good luck with you and the law. Hopefully everything works out to your advantage. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flabb is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.